Titus chapter 1, and in your Scofield Bible, page 1283. That's page 1283. And we'll read the first five verses of this chapter, Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We'll read the verses responsively, please. And may we stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's word. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And together also on verse 5, please. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, happiness is not found, it is created. Happiness is not found, it is created. This is a little bit of a twin message to one, or an appendix to a message I preached not long ago. And I felt I wanted to go further along the line. All over America, a lie is being taught. And that lie is this. The answer to man's righteousness and behavior is environment. You give a man a job, and he won't steal. You take away his job and he will steal. And we've almost blamed society because a man's a thief. We say the answer is environment. And to be surrounded by commodious and comfortable circumstances is the answer. And that's the devil's lie. It's not the answer. I want to speak this morning on the subject, happiness is not found, it is created. Father, help me, because if you don't help me, I can't help others. And if they're not helped, they can't help others to help others to help others. To help others. Start in this room today a chain of service. Amen. Dear Paul, this is an awful place. The inhabitants are terrible. The citizens of this place are liars. They're beastly. They're lazy. They're gluttonous. The church is horrible. I am remaining here just because you said, stay here, Paul. And I will stay until you tell me to leave. But for pity's sake, don't make me stay here all winter long. Signed, Titus. Dear Titus, you're right. The people there are liars. They are beastly. They are lazy. They are gluttonous. The church is in bad shape. Titus, this is exactly why I'm leaving you in Crete. To teach the liars to tell the truth. And to teach the lazy to work. And to teach the glutton temperance. And to teach the beastly and the carnal how to be spiritual. Crete needs you, Titus. Titus, you need Crete. And Titus, God needs you in Crete. I'm leaving you there in order that you may set in order the things they're wanting. Signed, Paul. What Titus thought was the worst thing possible was the best thing that ever happened to him. Titus had to learn one of the great secrets of life, and that was happiness is not found, it is created. I said happiness is not found, it is created. An unhappy person in Hammond will be unhappy in Honolulu. An unhappy person in Chicago will be unhappy in West Palm Beach. Unhappy person in Chicago will be unhappy in Southern California. Happiness, ladies and gentlemen, is not found. It is created. Recently, I was in two homes out in a far western state. One of those homes was beautiful. It was built, custom built. It was gorgeous. It was manicured. I was preaching out there for a couple of days, and it was manicured. A gorgeous home. The other home was an old house, had been purchased, run down, and had been remodeled. Little curtains had been placed that were made of maybe feed sack material. And the table was a keg. And the feed sack material that covered the windows had also been taken, some of it, to cover that keg. And that was the end table. A little lady had absolutely, with tremendous ingenuity, and had completely remodeled that little house with almost nothing. The lady who lived in the beautiful house that was custom built and was deep in every detail was prepared for her, she said, I don't know how I'm going to clean this big house. I just don't know. She said, this house is bigger than I can clean. The other little lady who had a house bigger than that she had fixed herself, she said, I'm having the time of my life. I just love this little house. I just love the house, and I'm having the time of my life. She said, I just love house cleaning day because it's mine. Now, what's the lesson? The lesson is, to fix it is to enjoy it. And happiness is not found in circumstance. Happiness is created in fixing. Today in Crete, by the way, Paul stayed in Crete. Later on, you couldn't drag it. I mean, see, that's Paul said Paul said, Titus, that's why you're there. He said, if the folks weren't liars, you wouldn't be needed. Why, he said, if the folks weren't beastly and sensuous, I wouldn't need you there. He said, Titus, the reason that you're there is because there's some things out of order. There's some things that need to be fixed. And Titus did stay. Later on, you couldn't drag Titus out of Crete. Why? Because Titus found the joy in life is not in balmy breezes, and the joy in life is not in tropical fruit, and the joy in life is not in good climate. The joy in life is finding something that is broken and fixing it, and that's creating happiness. I say happiness is not found, it's created. Happiness is a plumber seeing a leak and fixing it and walking away saying, I found something out of order and I set it in order. He creates happiness. Happiness is the doctor who sees a critically ill patient, and he nurses that patient back to health. He sees that which is broken and he fixes it. That's happiness. Happiness is a mechanic who sees a car that won't run. And he, by his own ingenuity and his own diligence and sweat and labor, he fixes that car. That's happiness. Happiness is a wife seeing an old apartment in an attic somewhere because she is a college wife. And she sees an old attic apartment and she says, I believe I can make something of this apartment. And so she diligently and with a little handful of money, but a heap of love, and a handful of material, but a heap of gratitude and sacrifice. She says, I'll fix it up. And she fixes it up with a little of this and a little of that, and a little leftovers and here and there. And she picks it up. That's happiness. Happiness is not the home of your dreams. Happiness is making a dream home out of the home of your nightmares. Fix it, and you create happiness. Fix it. Happiness is a barber seeing a shaggy head and making a comfortable, clean-cut head. Happiness is a watchmaker who sees a watch, won't run, and preparing it. Happiness is a dentist seeing a painful tooth and taking the pain away. Happiness is a cobbler seeing a worn shoe and repairing it. Happiness is not found. Happiness is created. And you won't find it because of circumstance. And you won't... Listen, that new car... No new car ever made anybody happy. No new house ever made anybody happy. No new furniture ever made anybody happy. This happy people are people who see a need and fill it. Happy people are people who see something broken and fix it. Happy people are people who see something sick and nurture them to hell. Or see a watch that's broken and repair it. Or a car that won't run and fix it. Or a head that's shaggy and cut it. Happiness is being met at the airport last week in Greensboro, High Point, North Carolina, by one of the finest young preachers I know today in America, Steve Robertson. His father pastors that amazing miracle church out in the country outside of Winston-Salem. You can only see a house or two from the front of the church way out in the country. Church is running 2,800 in Sunday school now regularly. Way out in the country. Steve Robertson began to talk to me, not related to Dr. Lee Robertson, but the other great Robertson preacher in America today. There are others, too. But, anyway, Steve, young man about 32 years of age, he said, Dr. Howard, you ever hear this story? I said, what is this, Steve? He drove in the room. He said, Brother Howard, he said, you were preaching at Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Dr. Lee Robertson. I was a student there. I played on the basketball team. This particular night, the students were not required to go to the services. We had our choice. I and the basketball players decided not to go to church. But he said, my dad has always said to me, go to church. When the door's open, go to church. When the door's open, go to church. And by the way, every single child of God ought to never miss a service in First Baptist Church Hammond. And if you do and are not providentially hindered, then you're not right with God and he'd hit the mourner's bench. There's nothing you'll teach your child, any more important. Be here, be here, be here, be here. And that had been pounded in this young man's head. You be there, you be there, you be there, you be there. Said that night I was staying home with the basketball team, staying in my room. He said, all of a sudden it dawned on me, Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. John Rice are preaching two blocks from where I'm standing right now. Why, he said, if my dad were here and knew I wasn't going, he'd kill me. And he said, I got up, went to church, sat back in the back. He said, Dr. Hiles, you preached that night on Stay in Crete from the book of Titus. I'm preaching this morning. He said, an outline, Stay in Crete. He said, you need Crete. Crete needs you. God needs you in Crete. He said, Dr. Hiles, that night while you were preaching, God called me to go into the ministry full time. And I want you to know that. That's happiness. That's happiness. His father, that amazing pastor, I'd say one of the half dozen most amazing pastors in America today. Never been to college. And years ago, pastor, a little handful of people out in the country came to hear me preach. He told me this story time and time again. Came to hear me preach. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, about 25 years ago. I taught my soul winning course. He was pastor of a church that never won a soul. Didn't know how. I taught him how to win a soul. And that afternoon, he took my book on soul winning and went out and read it to the guy out in the first guy he witnessed to and won that man to Christ. And he said, Dr. Hiles, that's the first soul ever won. And I stood and saw that giant 2,000-seat auditorium packed and jammed last Friday night. And that pastor sitting up there. And by the way, that deacon he won to Christ 25 years ago, that man is a deacon in his church today. And there I was on this side, fine young preacher, called to the ministry under my sermon, Stay in Crete. And a fine pastor now, a grandfather, and a seasoned preacher, one of the great churches in America, learned to be a soul winner. Let me tell you something, buddy. Not any car in America can compare to the blessing that brought to me. Happiness is seeing something broken and fixing it. Happiness is seeing a need and filling it. Happiness is seeing something must be done and set in order. And Paul said, Titus, you stay in Crete. I know you don't like the people there. I know they're lazy gluttons, and I know they're beastly, and I know they're liars. But he said the very fact that they're liars, somebody's got to tell them to tell the truth. And the fact that they're beastly, somebody's got to teach them to be spiritual. And the fact that they are worldly, somebody's got to teach them to walk with God. He said, Titus, for the very reason that you want to leave Crete is the reason I'm leaving you there. They need you. And they need you to set things in order. Happiness is standing up and preaching last Tuesday night, and seeing only on the second row in the front, a young man who's a graduate of college now and in God's work full time, who was born to a family in this church after I became pastor here. Before I preached, they stood up. He and his lovely wife stood up and sang a duet. In my sermon, I told about Vacation Bible School. And I told about Silly Billy and Fuidini, the old-timer. And I sang my song that's so beautifully rendered, When My Cup Runneth Over With Joy. And I was singing, When my cup runneth over with joy, when my cup runneth over with joy, I find it easy to pray and to sing all the day. And looked out, his eyes were round, just like they were when he was a little boy, 4 years old. And I said, Silly Billy, and his eyes sparkle. And there he sits, a young man now in full with a degree from college in full-time service for God. His lovely wife sitting right beside him, and they're in service for God and sang a lovely duet before I preach. Let me tell you something. I've never tasted liquor, but I'll guarantee you one thing. It's a cheap substitute for fixing something that's broken. I've never smoked any pot, but I'll tell you one thing. It's a pretty sorry substitute for living a life of fixing things that are broken. You'll never find happiness. You'll create happiness when you say, with the grace of... Listen. What you ought to do, every time you see an old tire in the road, you ought to stop and put it over in the ditch. You'd be surprised how much fun you can have. And you may get killed and go to heaven, too. You'd be shot. Listen, I was in Hagerstown, Maryland, driving down the street. A limb was out in the middle of the street, and folks were driving around that limb and driving around. And I stopped and got out and pulled that limb across to the side. And it's a big limb, too. I must weigh a half pound. And I put him aside. And a little lady stopped, and she said, Mister, aren't you Dr. Jack Hiles? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, I've heard of you. I heard you're in town preaching. And I said, where do you go to church? She said, I don't go. But she said, I've seen your picture in the paper and on posters here. And she said, to think that you'd stop and pull that tree, that limb of the tree off. She said, that's wonderful. And there, beside her car, I told her the wonderful story of Christ. And she received Christ as Savior. Why? Because I fixed something that was broken. Happiness is not found. Happiness is created. A week ago, last Friday night, 2 weeks ago, I stood and preached in the church I pastored 24 years ago. And Brother Dave had all the folks to stand that I'd won to Christ. Still going strong. Sitting back in the back, I saw a man. I remembered one day, he called me on the phone. His wife did and said, come quickly, my husband's going to commit suicide. I got in the car and drove about 2 miles down to the house, and there he stood with a gun. He was loading it. And I said, hold it, what are you doing? He said, preacher, I can't live. I have just been discovered for embezzling by my company. I've embezzled thousands of dollars from the company. He said, I know what's going to happen. I'd rather die than go to prison, and I know what's going to happen. I said, hold it, man, don't do it, don't do it. Let me talk to you. I said, let's go to the company and let's talk to the owner and let's tell him what you've done and let's see what'll happen. He, trembling, he pulled a gun to his head. I said, man, you're a fool. Don't do it. Don't do it. He said, preacher, what is there to live for? I'll bring reproach on my family, my wife, and my children. What's to live for? And I said, I'll tell you what to live for. I said, if you kill yourself and it comes out in the paper that you did it because you embezzled some money, I said, your wife and your kids will live a life of shame. But I said, if you walk in the company to the president's office and say, I've done this and I'm sorry, I'll take my punishment, but I'm going to pay every dime back. I said, at least your wife and kids will know you tried to make something out of yourself. And that man put that gun down. I went with him to the company prison. He told what he did. He paid it back dollar by dollar till it was all paid for. And 24 years later, there he sat back there still faithful to the church and to God. Let me tell you something. I've never been to a boarding house, but I'll bind you one thing. It won't excite you like fixing something that's broken. It won't do it. Last Wednesday night. Wednesday all day. Boy, I tell you, I hurt all day Wednesday. Because Wednesday night was the last service that Dr. Lee Robertson would preach as pastor of the Highland Park Baptist Church. I sent him a long, long telegram. It probably cost me more money than I'll make this week. But my heart hurt all day as I realized that tonight, after 40 years of pastoring, he's preaching his last message. That church he built from just a handful of people for all these years, and one of my heroes in the faith. I met him when he was 43 years of age, stood in line with Lester Roloff to ask him to sign our Bibles when I was a kid preacher in my middle 20s. I shook his hand. I was so nervous I missed it the first try. He was 43 years old. I was 26 years old. Now he's mid-70s, and I'm getting toward the latter part of my 50s. It was a passing of an era for me. Along about 9 o'clock, which was 11 o'clock where I was. I think that's right. No? Anyway, 9 o'clock is time. I stopped and wept and asked God to give him grace and thought that one day I'll do the same thing in this pulpit. But I want to tell you something, folks. For 40 years, Dr. Robertson's been in the same place. One of the happiest men you'll ever meet. You know why? Money? No, he hadn't got a lot of money. Rich? No, not rich as the world counts riches. For 40 years, same place. Doing what? Fixing things that are broken. I sat here this morning doing the Lord's Supper and looked around. Saw a couple sitting together that wouldn't be together if I hadn't been in the fixing business. I saw children well. I didn't think it'd be well if I hadn't been in the fixing business. I saw men in service for God who would be out in the world if I hadn't been in the fixing business. And I want to tell you something. Happiness is not found. Happiness is created. Paul said, I want to leave. I can't be happy here. Paul said, listen, the very fact that that there's a problem, that's why you're needed. I remember years ago, I hadn't thought of this in years, a fellow named O.C. Pruitt became one of the most faithful and most loyal and best members of a church I pastored in the country. I'd been pastor there about 3 months, and the church was having trouble. A lot of the folks didn't want a young man like me as pastor. And Mr. Pruitt came and sat back in the back, and after the service, he came up and he said, never heard anybody, it was Wednesday night, he said, never heard anybody give as much Bible as you gave tonight, Reverend. He was in his mid-40s. He said, Reverend, I never heard anybody. He said, that's more Bible. This man was somebody, by the way. He's a well-to-do man. He said, you shoveled the Bible into those folks tonight. I said, won't you come join with us? He said, I won't join that church. I said, why? He said, because there's trouble in that church. Why? I said, why won't you join? He said, if I saw two groups of people, one pushing a car, and one group had 10 people pushing it one way, and the other group had 5 pushing this way and 5 pushing that way, he said, which car do you think I'd push? I said, I had any sense you'd push the one had 5 folks pushing against it, because they'd need you the most. His mouth dropped open. He joined the church. Someone asked Dr. Ironside one day to share some of his greatest thrills as pastor at Moody Church. He told that little story that you've heard often. Later in his church, sort of wacky, had room to rent upstairs, like many of you. Bats in his belfry, her belfry. She came to Dr. Ironside's one day, and she said, Dr. Ironside, she said, the two men follow me everywhere I go. Oh, he said, they're not either. Yeah. Everywhere I go, two men. I bet you fellas, like some of you let gals, wish two men would follow you. She said, two men. Everywhere I go, they follow me. Dr. Ironside, and she came again. Dr. Ironside, the two men follow me everywhere I go. Oh, he said, there's not either. She said, two men follow me wherever I go. Finally, after months of that, Dr. Ironside came one day and said, she said, Dr. Ironside, those two men are following me. And Dr. Ironside said, I know it. I know their names. She said, you'd who? Yeah, I know the names. She said, what? He said, goodness and mercy. She said, goodness and mercy? Yeah. He showed her the 23rd Psalm. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And she smiled and she said, I didn't know that was their name. And so she walked away saying, come on, goodness, and come on, mercy. That reminds me of a little boy. A little boy used to dream about a wild tiger. Every night, he'd dream about a wild tiger. He'd say, Mama, I didn't sleep. And he wouldn't. He'd cry and holler in the night and couldn't sleep. A wild tiger's after me, a wild tiger! They took him to a psychologist. And the psychologist said, yes, son, there is a wild tiger. But he said, he's really not wild, he's a tiger. But said, he's really very tame. He said, well, tonight, if you do this, I know that tiger. He said, tonight, when he comes, you just put your hand out and pat him and say, hello there, old chap. And you'll find he'll be your friend. That night, the little boy went to bed. Went off to sleep. And his eyes sort of woke up a little bit. And he shook a bit. And then his hand came out under the cover. And he patted the space. And he said, hello, chap. And then he smiled. And rested peacefully all night. Oh, by the way, so did the psychologist. Rest peacefully. Because he fixed something. It was broken. If you really want to have happiness, you won't find it. You'll create it. When you find things that are wanting and set them in order. And the greatest creation of happiness I know is when you find somebody who's lost, headed for hell without God, lost in his sins, and you walk up and say, sir, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And he says, no. And you say, if I showed you how you could do it, would you be interested? And he says, yes. And you tell me the old, old story. And you tell him the old story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. And you tell him the story, wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. And he believes it and receives Christ. And you fixed it. And you've created happiness. I was on the airplane the other day. You know, funny thing. Go on the airplane in Chicago to fly down to Atlanta and on to Winston-Salem where I preach. And looked across the aisle and there sat Ernie Banks. And that fella literally brightened that whole airplane. Literally. Not an ounce of big shot in him. He talked to everybody. He literally brightened the atmosphere of that whole one man by himself. We got through. I walked over to him and I said, Ernie, I want to thank you. He said, what for? And I said, for the fact that we've been on this plane now for a whole hour and 45 minutes and you knew I was busy and you didn't ask me for my autograph and I appreciate it. And I was sitting beside a big, heavy-set fellow. Found out later, he was a professional comedian. No, that's not what I am. But I just looked over to him, and I said, sir, are you saved? He looked up at me, and he said, no, sir. I said, yes, sir. But he said, thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. All across this country, for many years, I've been just going up down the country trying to find things that are broken. I go to a hair field sometime earlier, just try to find something broken. I walk down a corridor. I'll see folks weeping, and I'll walk over and tell them who I am. Old man, his wife are crying. And I walked up, and I said, how can I help you? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor of First Baptist Church Town. Yeah. I said, could I help you? He said, my daughter just on the airplane and she's dying with cancer and this is the last time we'll probably see her. And mom said, mother and I, she lives in a distant state and we don't know how long she'll live and she just got on the airplane. And I tried to fix that, which was broken. I told you how I was walking down the corridors of O'Hare Field. Old man is pushing a suitcase with his foot like that. I said, can I help you? Carry it? He said, oh, you sure could, young man. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And so I picked up his suitcase. Naturally, it was at the farthest terminal away from where I was. He was so happy. And he said, what can I do for you, young man? I said, nothing. He said, let me buy you a drink. And I needed it after that long. I love to go to O'Hare Field. I love to take a lot of change out there with me. I love to take a handful of change. I like to sit up to some telephone, nobody's looking, and put it down where the coin return is. Just put a wad of it there. And then get over behind a post somewhere and watch the people as they walk up. I was out there a few years ago, and I put a whole... It's Christmas time, and I wanted to play Santa Claus, so I put a whole wad of money in there. I mean, it must have been $2 of change in there. I stepped back, wailed behind the crowd. A fellow walked up. He put his money in, dialed his number. He talked. He got through. Yeah, even if you don't, you always see if you may get it back. You know that? Oh, I don't care. You always do. You just want to see if you can be a crook a little bit, you know. So, before he left, he reached in there to see if he'd come back. He took that big wad of money out, held it in his hand, looked that way, looked that way, stuck it in his pocket, and went. And shook it. And I had a time of my life. For 24 years this August, I've been pastoring what I think is not the loveliest area in the world. And I've been pastoring what I think is not the most righteous area in the world. I hate to tell you this, but Hawaii is somewhat more attractive than Indiana Harbor. You probably wouldn't think it is. I hate to tell you this. West Palm Beach has it somewhat on East Chicago. I hate to tell you this. But Colorado Springs is a little prettier than Central Hammond. But to me, I'll take Hammond. It's the place where God has put me for a quarter of a century nearly. Try to fix that which is broken. Set in order the things that are wanting. I'm going to close now with this little story I haven't told in a long, long time. It's been years and years. When I came to Hammond, nothing fit. We had an auditorium over here. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. But it wasn't Hiles-like. It was ornate. had stained glass windows with pictures of a long-haired Jesus on the side. And they're beautiful. I'm not being critical. Beautiful building. And up in the top, there was a dome, a gorgeous dome. Beautiful. And instead of there, God is light. There's one little 40-watt light bulb up there is all there was. It's good thing God was light. There wasn't another light up there. But it was beautiful, ornate. I love the kind of architecture. But it wasn't Hiles. This is Hiles here. Beautiful, strong, big. This is Hiles. Cheerful, bright. But it wasn't me. And they didn't have chairs like this. Had a high chair. Had thrones up here. And boy, nothing more uncomfortable. The thing don't curve. It's not soft. Doesn't slant. You sit there. And if you're built like that, it's okay. And I couldn't cross my legs. I was cross my legs. I couldn't, nothing fit. Nothing. And I was so homesick, I didn't know what to do. I never was in my life so homesick. Nothing fit. Area set. One of the first weeks I was here. First time I went soul winning, took a bunch of cards. And the first card said 517 Detroit Street. Over here on Detroit Street. Knocked on the door. The lady came to the door. I said, Mrs. Seibert. She said, yes. And I began to cry. Literally. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, I just moved here and I'm homesick. I said, I'm pastor of First Baptist Church. I said, could I talk to you for a few minutes? She said, I'm going to the Civic Center for a social meeting. Very lovely lady. Prematurely white, gray hair. And I said, look,
Before you go, let me tell you how to be saved. She said, I've got to go. I said, how long you got? She said, just a few minutes. I said, if I could tell you how to be saved in a few minutes, please listen to me. And out of pity and sympathy, she listened. I stood there at the door, held it open in my hand, told her about Christ. And I said, look, before I go, could I pray? And she said, I got to go. I said, could I pray? I'll pray brief, short. Tears streamed down my cheeks. Okay. I held the door like that, and I began to pray, and I said, dear God, help this lady to trust Jesus today. Lord, help her to be saved. I've tried to tell her how to be saved. I felt a warm tear hit my hand right there. I'm not very smart, but I know that tears fall down, not out. So I knew it wasn't mine. I knew there was only two of us there, so the process of elimination, I figured it was hers. I looked up, and she was weeping, and she came to Christ. That was the mother-in-law of preacher Ron Perkey, Sarah's mother. Ron was a deacon here, went to college, became a preacher, has been a preacher now for years. Mrs. Seibert has been serving God all these years now. Funny thing, I came back to the church. In the drive back, somebody cleaned the air. It wasn't foggy anymore. And these old beat-up houses on Sibley Street suddenly were mansions. And the sun was brightly shining. Went back in the auditorium and looked at that beautiful, beautiful dome up there. And sat down behind the chair. And the chair was a perfect fit. You know why? Because I was doing what God had made me to do. I was setting in order that which was wanting. And fixing that which was broken. And now for 24 wonderful years, I've been doing it. I say happiness is not found. Happiness is created. Our Heavenly Father.